sing it. I don't know about you, girlfriend. Mama, do you love to sing that song?
I love that song, and even though you jumped the gun, and I still, you know, I channel myself back in France in the 60s, and oh, it was so wonderful.
With your rock you and roll,
it looks real cool.
Exactly. You and your little Catholic uniform at the time.
That's right, with my beret.
Exactly. But I love doing our show on Sunday nights because it's a chance for me to take a deep breath in and release and enjoy this hour with you. Mm-hmm. Because it's like the end of a crazy week and the beginning of another crazy week.
That's what you're already predicting, huh?
Exactly. And you're kind of breaking up a little bit, girlfriend. So how was your week so far?
Oh, am I really breaking up?
No, now you're not.
Okay, great.
Now you're not.
How was my week? It was awesome with a capital A. What is it? Awesome sauce?
there you go. That's what I like about it, too. It was a capital A, awesome, with some sauce. And for me, that sauce was hot mustard. Kind of like, it could have been good, but it's been more just...
It's kind of your own perspective. Some people really love hot mustard sauce, right?
Yes. Someone would go, God, that week you had was an awesome week. And some people are like, whoa, what kind of week was that? What kind of crazy ass week was that? And so I'm looking forward to tonight to hanging out with you, even though we're still continuing on our technical difficulties. But, you know, we're interviewing two great authors who are part of the Unwavering Strength series, the new book that you're in, coming out at the end of February. And can I say the name of your story? Because I know I'm supposed to be interviewing you sometime in the future.
Yeah, you're going to interview me.
I am. But the name of your story is Just the Kiss. Isn't that correct?
The Kiss.
The Kiss. And I'm going to leave it like that, just hanging out there in the air.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, what's the kiss about?
So you are going to interview me. Do I get a whole hour?
I am. Yes. I'm going to do it right. You get a whole hour.
Yeah.
I'm going to prepare and I'm going to go deep because I know you inside and out. I'm going to be like, yeah, tell me more.
Can you imagine? Yeah. That this girl that you're talking to has unwavering strength? No.
You know what? I've always known it. I've always, when people would ask me who has the most unwavering strength that you know of, I always say to my mom, Christine Marie. She may not believe me sometimes. Her unwavering strength might be a little less unwavering some days. But yeah, I might
cry my eyes out, but I stand strong, girlfriend.
Exactly. For sure. But we're going to interview, we got Reverend Lorraine Cohen coming up. She's going to share her story. Then at the half hour, she puts a little bit of a break and interview Beverly Golden about her story. And it's going to be a while.
If I can remember Beverly's story. No, I was going to say, but she wrote the book, Confessions of a something. Middle-aged hippie. Now, doesn't that sound like a cool book? Yeah.
It sounds like a real cool book.
Yeah.
And that sounds just like up your alley. Because
it sounds like it sounds like a lot of pot smoking. I don't know, though. I didn't read the book.
Well, you know, I think she's Canadian. So I don't know, is pot legalizing in Canada? I don't know. Are the rules a little bit flat, you know, open up there? I know we're starting to get that way down here.
I don't know either. our neighbors to the north are pot smoking.
I don't know either. I don't want to suggest that they are. I've been there. But, you know, I'm not a teetotaler. I just don't know. Okay, before we bring on, you know, we talk about unwavering strength in our show, especially when we're interviewing these authors. And so the topics can get a little bit serious. Because typically you're not forced to use unwavering strength when everything is going well in your life, right?
Right.
But I do want to share a quick story that something that happened to me. This is before I bring Lorraine on. So, okay, you know that part of my job is I'm doing a lot of traveling and driving or whatever, and I'm going into a bathroom of a truck stop, gas station kind of thing. It's a pretty big place. And so it's a two-stall kind of thing. So I walk in, there's nobody around, and I don't see anybody behind me either. So I walk in, I go into the bigger bathroom, because I'm like, well, if I have a choice, I'm going there, you know. So I'm going in there.
You want to
split. And I about ready to drop my drawers. And I notice that somebody has come in right after me and is in the stall next to me. I'm like, well, that's fine. There's only two stalls, you know, big deal. I had a problem with it if there was 100 stalls and they chose one right next to me.
Yeah,
but,
that's,
you know,
kinda,
whatever.
That's kind of got an ooh factor, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, there's only two. So but I noticed that their feet are pointing the wrong direction for a girl's bathroom. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're looking under the stall, and you see that
just
the shoes are pointing.
I'm not staring. Just by chance, I'm like, you know, ready to drop my drawers, and I'm realizing, why are those feet pointing toward the toilet? So, you know,
and you look down
I
at your feet, and they weren't.
And they weren't. So, right. You know, I'm a big girl now. I don't get scared often, or I don't feel threatened. And I, at this moment, I don't feel threatened, but I do not know how to react. Because I've been in a bathroom before where an older gentleman has come in, and I'm like, oh, he just got confused, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows why. And, you know, I'm like, I'll just wait till they're done and then leave. But they're also sitting down, not standing up, so forth. But here I am, and my first thought was, well, do I say something? Like, hey, dude, this is a girl's bathroom.
Mm-hmm. What kind of shoes were they that were pointing
them forward? Like, hipster tennis shoes. Hipster, you know.
Hipster.
I felt like he was, you know, probably in his early 20s, late teens, kind of hipster. And through my mind, no thought of fear came in, like, oh, my God, there's a man in the bathroom. It was more like, hey, you know, first off, okay, did he make a mistake? Did he follow me in thinking I was a boy or a man? And then that made me laugh. That made me totally want to, like, laugh out loud. And then, or then I thought, oh, my God, could it be that he was with a group of people, and they said, hey, we'll give you $50 if you go in the bathroom with her and take and relieve yourself. Or, and I'm like, well, hey, dude, go for it. You know, go, you know, make some money. That's cool. And then I thought, well, what if, you know, come here.
Did you hear that, by the way?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Is our guest on the line?
He needs the phone number again.
Oh, okay. Well, that's no problem. Why don't we take just a minute break?
Sounds
and
good.
We'll be right back, everyone.
I was a gay, gay girl. 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 Back in France in the 60s, it was all so wonderful. We all played rock and roll and looked real cool.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm sure you enjoyed our song again. Our Yeah Yeah Girls song, because we're a bunch of Yeah Yeah Girls out here having a good time on a Sunday night. And yes, we do have our guest. Now, I know I didn't finish my story about my Dr. Lorraine Cohen's would be like, what bathroom story are you talking about? So we'll talk about that at the end of the show, the hanging thing. But right now we have Reverend Lorraine Cohen on, and she is one of the authors of Unwavering Strength, Volume 2, coming out in about, I guess, a month now. And Lorraine, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. We have had a torrential rain, which is, you know, a great opportunity to do a lot of clearing and cleansing. So I am in a great space and excited about being with you all tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, where are you located at?
I'm outside of Philadelphia.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing about that. Okay, great. Well, you live in a lovely part of the country, and I love the rain coming down, and especially in January, because you always feel like you got lucky that it's not a foot of snow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, we have been told that we have some very severe storms coming in the month of January and February, and I'm just grateful that it wasn't today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Now, Lorraine, I would like you to share with us a little about your story on Unwavering Strength, how you found Unwavering Strength, and also to how you decide to share it with the world? What was the purpose of that?
Well, you know, Judy, who is the compiling author, has been a close friend of mine for a number mm-hmm. of years. And interestingly, this past year I was also invited to be a co-author on another book called Embraced by the Divine. And the themes in terms of both of those books were about inviting us to get really raw and heartfelt and talk about some of the challenges that we've experienced in our own lives that have helped us to become masterful, to become champions in our own life, and to step into being more conscious creators of the life that we want. And I'm a firm believer that now more than ever, we need to hear some of these stories because they give us hope, they give us courage, they affirm and confirm so much of what our hearts are calling us to acknowledge, to take those leaps of faith. And so it was really divine timing that Judy invited me to participate in the book. In fact, when she first extended the invitation, I didn't realize what she was asking me for, so I think I missed Volume 1 because I was procrastinating. But Volume 2, obviously, is what I was meant to be a part of, and I'm really excited about that. So I know you asked me a second part of the question, which I've totally forgotten. So maybe
oh,
you can
no.
just refresh
well, you know
my
what?
Memory.
You actually, Lorraine, which I love your name. When I was growing up, I knew an awesome woman by the name of Lorraine, and she was so hip and cool. So I just love your first name. It's an awesome name. It brings back lots of great memories. No, I mean, here we are. You know, you told me the reasons why you want to share your story. And I read a little about your background, but tell the audience a little about your story a little bit about for the book Unwavering Strength. I want you to share, you know, enough about it so we get an idea of what the stories are like in this
Super.
Book.
Yeah. You know, it was an opportunity for me. I was just thinking about how I want to lead into that wonderful question. Mm-hmm. In the early 1980s, when I was in my early 30s, my mother passed away, which was a very profoundly painful time for me because I was very close with her. And several years prior to that, she had been diagnosed with leukemia. And when I was aware of that diagnosis, I really felt that her time was coming to an end. I just had that sense. And when my mother died, it was a real breakdown period for me. My life collapsed right after her death. And prior to that, I used to think that my life was pretty charmed. And after her death, during this shattering period, it was an invitation for me to really ask some of those deeper questions, which oftentimes happens when something happens in, you know, like in your life, you start asking, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And your heart breaks open. And during that time, it was an opportunity for me to look at who I was, who I wasn't. I realized I was so full of crap. I had no idea who I was, and my mother's death was a catalyst for me to embark on a spiritual journey that has brought me from there to here. And it was, at that time, it was a really terrifying period because I felt very raw, I felt very alone, and I didn't know who I was. And when I started to write in the book for Unwavering Strength, I invited people to take a little bit of a journey of what it was like for me at that beginning of starting to have panic attacks and finding myself on this spiritual journey. More, the entry for me was a metaphysical doorway that opened. And I was told a lot of things. I was working with crystals, and I was exposed to a whole new community. I was having a lot of different experiences that were very exciting and a little scary. And you know, in the early 1980s or mid-1980s, there wasn't the kind of support that we have now. So it was a very different time. And at that time, I was also told that I was a healer. And, of course, my first response at that time was, I don't know who you're talking to, but you're not talking to me. Mm-hmm. And I was told that I was going to be speaking and impacting on audiences. And coming from an earlier point in my life where I used to stutter and have stage terror, I thought, you're not talking to me because that's not what I'm doing. And it's so interesting when you stop fighting against who you are and you see all these doors open. And so the story is really about all the yeses that I needed to start saying and the places that it took me inside of myself in order to realize and step into my life purpose, which is open my life in ways I never could have imagined. And I am so grateful that that was part of the legacy that my mother left me, was her death was my awakening.
That's a beautiful, beautiful story.
You know, and I know a little bit in your bio, too, you talk about how your relationship with God is very important to you.
Yeah.
And so starting back with the, you know, passing of your mom and going on this spiritual journey, you're deepening your relationship with God, and then still things are going on that may shake other people. You talk about your business struggling, and you're still going deeper with God, and then a health scare years later, and you're still deepening your relationship with God. Did there ever come a time where you're saying, hey, God, I'm with you. What's going on? What are you doing to me?
Yes. Many, many, many times. There was a very deep period during those years that I told you about that I felt a real closeness with God. I was living in New York at the time, and I would walk to work every day, and I would have conversations with God, and they were very sweet, and they were very tender. And somewhere along the line, and I don't even remember, when I moved from New York to Pennsylvania, I stopped talking to God. Even though I felt there was a relationship, something had changed that I wasn't even aware of. And it's been the last several years with things happening in my life. You know, actually, as I'm saying this, it was really in the late 1980s, I had another dark night of the soul. Mm. And it was a terrifying period where I had just bought a house and my psychotherapy practice was so robust. I had people on waiting lists to work with me, and I saw in a very short period of time my business fall apart. And I know that part of that was because I was meant to be doing something more than what I was doing. I wasn't as happy. And so I went into a very dark period for almost 2 years. And the reason why I was in that period for that long, I think, is because I fought so hard. There was a part of me, I will say it's my spirit, that was very clear that this experience was very powerful and pivotal to the very deep fear transformation work that I do with clients now. Mm-hmm. And it was also bringing me so much closer, maybe even back to God, while my inner child was freaking out.
Yes.
And so I was bouncing between those two places for a period of time.
Mm.
And I know that as I came out of that period, and I was still working with clients at the time, but I knew that something was changing, and I had to keep surrendering and letting go. And when I turned that corner, I felt that my bond with God has gotten so much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But this past year in 2014, and this is part of another story that I wrote, there was a breaking point between me and God, and I had a period like many people had in the end of March and kind of going into the middle of April, where I felt a lot of very old and very deep pain, even from my ancestry, and I found myself on my knees in more pain than I had ever been before. And the words that came out of my mouth were, "Why have you forsaken me?" And I raged at God, and I thought about leaving. And I felt that, that God and I were having a period of reckoning, and I literally let everything bust loose, all the things that had still been within my body, within my heart, needed to come out. My jaw had started cracking. My lymphatic system got fouled up, and everything was pointing to all the stuff that I was holding on to. And I got to a point of being in such a deep place of despair and rage and anger and deep sadness. And my friends were absolutely terrific. I mean, I'm very blessed to have very conscious friends, and they said to me, you know, if you feel that you're complete, it's okay for you to go. They didn't try to pull me out of it. Mm-hmm. I was so grateful that they let me be where I needed to be so that I could make some different decisions. And I came to a point where I said to God, you know what? I'm not going. So you just better get your butt in gear and start working things out for me, because we are not okay, is what I said. We are not okay.
Right.
And there have been so many blessings, and there were so many blessings along the way. I don't want to infer that there weren't tons of blessings, but there were some areas that I really had some issues with God. And I just watching what has transpired through that period, it was my next phase of clearing, and it was in response to prayers I had put out, was to be as close to God as I possibly could be. I wanted that relationship so deeply and so passionately, and I wanted to know what it felt like to stand in unshakable faith and unwavering strength, and it came in the form that knocked me to my knees in order to experience what I had asked for. I had called it forth, and I had done it brilliantly.
Whoa.
Yes.
Powerful story.
Yeah, and
so would you feel, Lorraine, that ultimately in this journey with God, that God always calls us to greater and greater life, more for us, even if the catalyst is a dark night of the soul, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's also important to remember that spark of the divine is us. It's not separate, and this is what we're coming back to, is realizing that this illusion of separation, you know, we're at this pivotal point in history where we're coming out of this deep slumber and awakening to who we really are, and that means that if God is in everything that exists everywhere, then God is also within us, which means, and I say this not arrogantly, we are all God.
Absolutely,
not the fullness of the creator as we understand. So this journey has also been about coming home to myself, coming home to who we are, and coming home to this realization that we are one with God.
So brilliant. So beautifully put.
I've had a lot of time to work with this.
Well, it's interesting, Lorraine, because you mentioned in talking about somebody had told you, said, you know, if you need to let go, it's okay to go.
Yeah.
And in our next guest, which we usually just have, we've been having only one person on, but today we were having two, and I feel like we're just touching the surface with you, Lorraine, and that I hope maybe in the future you'd want to come on again, because
because
what we're talking about is really what we, you know, what's being called to be talked about is this idea of our relationship with God, and when it's kind of being shaken a little bit and a lot. And a drink needed. But you know, on our next guest, she had somebody say to her, you know, it's okay to move on or to leave or to let go of the body if you need to. And to hear it twice in one show, is that what your friend meant to you, that if you needed to go, leave the physical plane?
Yeah.
I'm going to take that as a very interesting coincidence tonight to have both guests have that happen.
You know what? It's really not unusual for many of us who see ourselves in this role of light workers to visit that that query, because we are so stretched. And in order to choose to live, you have to face the possibility of dying. And so it was very profound for me as I thought about leaving, that it was an opportunity for me to stand and say, I am ready to live in a much bigger way. I am here for a purpose. I came here. I'm not done, so I'm not going.
Mm-hmm.
And God, you better catch up with me. I need you to catch up with me.
You better get in line with me, sweetheart.
Yes. like you said, you've got to get your butt in gear.
That's right. And, you know, I am so grateful for all the things that have transpired. And you know, one of the things that really helps to stand in unwavering strength is being able to recognize and credit all the ways that your prayers are answered, because they don't always come in the forms that you expect. All these wonderful synchronicities and all these little God winks that come along the way that are in response to your prayers. And when you can see that happening, you really feel that warm confirmation. I really am not alone. This isn't the greatest fraud that has ever hit humanity, this whole concept of God. It's real. I'm a part of it.
Yes,
and my prayers truly are being answered.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I am in awe, Lorraine, just of your story. And I can hear the strength in your voice, girlfriend. I can hear it.
It's been a while coming, and it feels wonderful in this body. And, you know, when we talk about something that we know is true, that power just comes through, doesn't it? I'm sure you experience that when you're talking about something that so deeply resonates and you feel that passion, you feel that joy. It is a force that cannot be stopped. And when we talk about it, it lifts us all up, I think.
Mm. Now, everybody, you can go and find out more about Lorraine at lorrainecohen.com. And we'll put that up on our website, but lorrainecohen.com. And, Lorraine, you're having a journey into power and joy coming in February. Do you want to share this about a little bit?
This is probably one of the most powerful programs I've ever created that I teach with God. And it's about standing in authentic power and joy, really understanding what it means to stand in that power, not in the negative way that we think about it, how you can see when you're standing in internal or external power, and there's a distinction, and how you can begin to live from that place of power and create more joy in your life. What's unique about this program are the energy activations and the soul-guided processes that the divine creates, and people always have shifts and releases that are just mind-blowing. So this is a co-creative program that I teach with God. So if, you know, it's not for people who want to sit on the sidelines. If you're really ready to have some serious breakthroughs in a way that is perfect for you, this program is the first time I'm doing it as a 7-week. Join me, because you will be blown away by your own ability to create the breakthroughs that you want. And make 2015, you know, 2015
the
best.
Yeah,
and well, I think you can find
really
it online at lorrainecohen.com, and also pathwaystoawakening.com, and that's with the number 2. Pathways.
But I want to. I want to invite Lorraine back, because I think we've just really just scratched the surface.
No,
you know, I'm sorry, I can't tell the difference of your voices. You know, I want to say thank you, Julie. I want to say, you know, thank you. Thank you both. And, you know, if you feel inclined to join me for the program, I'd love to have you.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to look into that. Well, thank you, Lorraine, for this wonderful time tonight. And here's to your story coming out in unwavering strength.
Thank you for sharing.
Have a blessed night.
Yeah,
God,
I just want to say thank you for sharing your truth.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yay. And so I'm going to take a little bit of a break, a minute or two break, when we get our next guest on and really recover from a wonderful interview. This was awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to our break.
I was a yay-yay girl.
Hour with Life of the Girlfriend with Christy Marie and Julie, and I'm Julie.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Mama.
Christy Marie here. Here I am.
And during our break, because I had a quick puppy issue that I took care of as well with our new puppy, Elliot, so I may sound a little bit out of breath, but we're okay. And so I just can't believe how blessed we are tonight, because tonight we interviewed Lorraine Cohen, and now we are interviewing Beverly Goldstein, another author on Unwavering Strength. However, she also wrote a book, which I love the title of.
I do, too.
Unrelationshiping. I'm telling you right now, Beverly, what an awesome title for a book. You can find out more about Beverly at beverlygolden.com, and if you go to her website right now, you're going to be like, I know this woman. She is funky. She's exciting. I love her. This is awesome. So welcome to Life with a Girlfriend, Beverly. How are you tonight?
Thank you. That's so awesome. Thank you so much. I gather one of you really relates to the hippie, the hippie part of this.
Well, okay. This is Julie. I'm the daughter.
And I'm the ex-hippie.
Yes. Oh, please, Mother, ex-hippie, you are so full of it.
None of us are ever ex-hippies. We're actually all hippies.
That's right.
Exactly. And so it's been a pleasure having you on tonight. It's going to be such a fun talking to you. And talking about your story in Unwavering Strength, we've been interviewing authors. And so Christy and Marie and I, we like to take things kind of light here on the show. But when we talk about Unwavering Strength, when Christine wrote a story about that as well in the next coming edition, we get a little deeper, a little bit more serious, because those are the times that we get to show our unwavering strength. It never pops up when life is going really great. It always pops up when we have to dig deep and find it in ourselves. So, Beverly, would you share your story, a little bit of your story with our audience tonight?
Absolutely. From a fairly young age, I have had kind of undiagnosable, but doctors trying to diagnose health issues. And this started when I was fairly young, and it continued, throughout my life. I'd have amazing periods where I was doing well, and then I'd have periods where I was really far down. So my story in the book is called Intuitively Healing Impossible into Possible. And why I called it that is in 2001, I was so far down that the majority of people who would see me, I had lost 40 pounds really, really suddenly in a couple of months. And nobody in my whole circle of alternative medicine, traditional medicine, could really diagnose it. So I did something that was kind of bizarre to a lot of people. I flew overseas to Germany to an alternative health clinic I had heard there. Now, I couldn't even walk up a flight of stairs. So you have to know, taking that flight to Germany was pretty much not only a leap of faith, but it was my last opportunity, my last chance, And when I got the story back, it was interesting. She said, I had almost hit rock bottom. I had said, it wasn't almost. I was at rock bottom. There was really no much farther way to go down at the time. And I really learned a lot about myself. It was an amazing experience. I did not come back healed, I'm putting that in quotes.
Right.
I wasn't healed because, the process for all of us is our own individual journey, and it really is about transformation. And when I came back to Canada, I really didn't look or wasn't any better than I had left there. In fact, one of the things that really touched a lot of people is at the airport with, my mother, my ex-husband, my daughter had actually turned to me and she goes, Mom, and you too can probably relate to this, she said, you have suffered so much that it's really okay if you want to go there and die. That's how
how bad it was. Imagine your daughter saying that to you. And I just said, I was like shocked because I had no intention of dying, or, you know, I was somewhat naive, not realizing how critical my condition was. And I said, no, I still have a lot left to do here, so I don't plan on dying just yet. And it was a really long, long battle back. You know, in the past, any time I'd gotten really sick, I was able to rebound, you know, the word rebound, and come back to life and find whatever fix I needed to be healthy again. But, you know, I was down to 89 pounds, and I'm 5'6". So for anyone listening, I'm sure you can equate that to being...
This is not good for you, yes.
I looked like a walking skeleton. You know, I'd go into a restaurant and I literally had people, like I'd had a situation where these two young guys, one of them looked at me and went, "Oh my God, bless you, ma'am." You know, because I looked like a walking skeleton, and I had no idea how I was going to make it back from that such a low place. And this is where I had to really call on my own intuition. And no matter what doctors told me, no matter what family members, because I didn't really have anyone on my side. I mean, that was the other thing. Nobody really got what I was doing. They were just like, you need to listen to the doctors. You need to do this. And I would continually be told, that's impossible. That's impossible. That's impossible. Yeah. And I guess it's the human spirit. That's what I'd like to share with people. Something in our human spirit knows what's possible, you know, for us. It really does. It's like, this is possible. I'm going to show people what's possible when it comes to the human spirit. So that's, and you know, now I'm really, really healthy, so I'm sure everyone will be happy to hear that. They're not envisioning me sitting here at, you know, 90 pounds or something, right, and writing about this story. But it was really, really a long, you know, one step forward, baby steps to get back to health. So I share that a lot in my book because really from a young age, I mean, from the age of 12, and then it's permeated my life. I say my life has really been about this journey to health. And I'm really grateful that I was able to trust my own intuition enough. Because it's easy to be swayed by the experts or by the science or by the other people's experiences. It really does take something, I think, this kind of unwavering strength really in yourself to say, I'm trusting my own self. And, of course, then I'm 100% responsible for what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Julie, by the way. What I love about your story is the what you call human nature is just a spark to continue with life. Coming through, because as you say in your story, you know, the only thing that happened when you came back from Germany is that you spent a lot of money for this treatment that ended up in zero results initially. But when you were working on your healing, you had come to a place where it was all good. Mm-hmm. And I love that because
didn't she say in her story, you still could have physical symptoms, but be healed?
And that's the truth. You can be, and this is hard for some people to grasp, you can be healed and still have a physical illness.
It's really hard to grasp.
But it's profound.
Yes.
It's profound, because when we talk about and being on the spiritual journey and with you, and then also for my own journey, looking into healing myself and being on that spiritual path, going, okay, I feel healed. I feel I've been forgiven and forgiven myself and worked on my spiritual side. Why am I not seeing the results on the outside yet? Mm-hmm. When are they coming? And for me, hearing your story, I had this huge sigh of relief when I heard that line. Could you just expand on that a little bit?
I can, because, you know, if you really look at us as being multifolds in who we are, so the physical realm, in my understanding, is the densest realm, right? And this is where I've had the most problems, believe me, being in this, like, really incarnated into a physical body, and I still work on that. I'm an air sign, so anyone who's into astrology, I have six planets in air. I love literally being in the cosmos, right? Like, you know, traveling up in the air and grabbing ideas. So the densest form... And, you know, for an illness to show up in dense physical form, from my understanding and my experience, there has to be a disconnect at another level. So at a spiritual level, and then on an emotional level, and then on a physical level, if that makes sense to you.
Sure.
So it sort of lands in the body, but it's really starting somewhere else. So in doing spiritual work, yes, you can heal where that disconnect started, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to see instantly, you know, the healing on the physical level, because it is the densest level. And sometimes we're left with, you know, some physical residue. Like, for example, I'm healed, but I still have scars on my abdomen from the early surgery. You get what I mean? Like, we're still experiencing things in a physical level. So it really is about transforming on more than a physical level. And, you know, when I listen to people now, I get that people want quick fix. They want to be healed on a physical level. They want the drug. They want the pill. They want the treatment. And really, it is about the inner transformative work. And that's where the healing comes. So it is profound that you can still have a physical illness but be healed on the other levels.
I love it. I love it. It is transforming, for sure. Oh.
Yeah.
And what it is it's forgiving. Because we can be so hard on ourselves when we're not able to manifest a quick fix or manifest a reasonable amount of recovery or progress.
Like, why can't I have a miracle, you know?
Yeah. Yes. And
what's
you,
the miracle?
Really,
And that's the thing. How do you define a miracle? And one of the things that people have said to me who knew me then, so if you saw me now, none of this might have the same impact as if you know what I mean, you had seen me. And that's why I actually put a picture in my book of what I looked like, bearing all at 89 pounds, because it is, you know, pictures do really speak loudly. So, you know, people will say to me, wow, you really give me hope of what's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when we knew you then, you know, there are many people who did not think it was possible at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I would come back from that place. I was just so far down. So I just say, people, all things are possible. What do you want to people? You know, what do you want the possibilities in your own life to be, whether it has to do with health, whether it has to do with relationship, whether it, you know, I mean, all areas of our life are open for us to create the possibilities and then, I guess, take the steps that are right for us. Does that make sense? You know, because there's lots of opinion and info and noise, and I did this and it worked, and it's like, what's right for you? You know, and that's really what this, following my own intuition, no matter what anyone told me, and I know that can be challenging at times for people.
Well, how does your intuition now, is it, when I hear intuition, I really think of, you know, listening to that spiritual voice, you know, that, and has that grown for you? Do you, is it that connection even deeper and you know?
I would say, you know, and here's the thing about being young and being resistant. I mean, I had a lot of resistance when I was young. So, I mean, my inner, you know, my voice or my inner trust or intuition could have been screaming at me. And yet, as we all know, our heads have sometimes another agenda, you know, our thinking capacity.
Yeah.
So I think with learning to follow my intuition, and that was quite a test, as I hope you can imagine, where you don't even have your family on your side. Really, I didn't have anyone who agreed with me. And I was like, oh, dear. And I just kept believing that, like, and I don't know, sometimes it was naivety, resistance, stubbornness, like, or all those things, or, you know, the combination of just saying, this is the right thing for me. This is the right next step for me. And, I do follow that now. I really, I love the idea of having plans and having goals and, you know, but a lot of what I do is like something, I call it the future that's coming towards you. So you have something that comes towards you and you can either say yes or you can say no to it. And I'm sure that resonates for both of you. And it's like, I just continue to say yes because as someone said to me, just keep saying yes until you have to say no. You know, unless you explore something, you don't really know what possibilities there. And sometimes I'm amazed at the dots, you know, that idea of the dots are connected after the fact. It's like something shows up and you're like, wow, I never would have imagined that that leads to something so much grander or, so you know, or this other possibility. So I've become, I think, less resistant and more centered, you know, in my own intuition to say, yeah, I'm going to say yes to that. and trust. So one of the things I really do, and this hopefully doesn't sound too far out for all of you, I really trust that we are being guided, and we have spiritual guides, and they're there just kind of waiting to support us. And just, you know, waiting, you know, when we say yes, it's like, okay, yay, you know, we're here to support you. And it happened recently. I was asked to write an article about something, and I went, oh, my God, I don't have an idea yet, or I don't have a point of view. So someone reminded me, why do you have to have that? Don't you just trust that if you say yes, all of a sudden the idea just is there?
Right. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and hearing you talk, because going back to saying yes to going to Germany and you're using your intuition for that, you know, in April 2001, this is probably, this is when you're at your lowest. Just so people can know it, things don't take overnight, it's okay to keep hanging in there. How long did it take for you to really feel noticeably different?
Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I spent 3.5 weeks in Germany, and it was exceedingly expensive. You know, I mean, I had to refinance my house, and, you know, that, which doesn't matter in this case, but there was a lesson for me to be learned there, because I am still a person who's looking for the fastest way from A to Z, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want an outcome.
Okay.
So I came back, and it literally was one step after another, and what happened within a fairly short amount of time, I was led to a traditional homeopath, and she introduced me to this amazing art school, which was a therapeutic art school, and I wasn't even strong enough to go to any classes. So it really was from 2001 until 2008, everybody. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, I did make a choice for myself, and the choice at that point, because I was really prepared, was a surgery. And people go, oh, but I thought, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know what? I chose a surgery because when the surgeon said, I can guarantee you 90% that the quality of your life will improve, that's really huge.
That's huge.
Yes, that's.
So how would you
be
resistant? Yeah, how would you say no? Like, most people are hoping for like 50%, 90%. And I said, okay, I'm going to trust this. I am going to trust that I was led to this person who had actually done another surgery on me many years ago. And I made that choice, but I was prepared. It wasn't like, oh, my God, I don't have... It was like I had done so many years of work around what were the emotional issues, what were the spiritual issues that had led to this kind of disconnect for me to manifest these physical health issues. And to say, this is the best next step for me. And a lot of fear around it. I mean, you know, all of these things, it doesn't mean like I'm immune. It means that I'm making a choice because it feels like the best choice for me in that moment. And it was a great choice, and he was actually right. You know, so yay, let someone else be right. It's not always about, you know, I was always trying to show, I can do this, I'm going to be right, I'm going to show them I can do this on my own. It's like, why don't you take some help from some people who have, you know, that it really resonates in it for you. And it was great experience. I was the golden girl, literally, because my last name is Golden, but they actually said, you are the golden girl here. you know, literally and figuratively, whatever. So it was great. And it was, you know, you talked about, one of you mentioned that I had actually said, you know, if I thought, well, I'm still living my life, even though I was really ill, and I couldn't gain any weight. I maybe gained 5 pounds, you know, so I was still weighing in at the all of 93 pounds during all this time. But I was still living life. I was doing the art, you know, the therapeutic art. And I had been very, very beautiful when I was young. And believe me, going down to 89 pounds, you are not beautiful anymore at all. So I had let go of all of that. And maybe that was part of the lesson in it. And I just said, as long as I can live my life, I really want to let go of this, you know, beauty that was such a key part of my life. So there's many lessons, as we all know, in having health issues. And I think the real thing is to find what it is for us, what's the learning in it for us. And then, again, I can only stress, just listen to your own inner voice. And there's a lot of noise out there in the world, even more so now, all the time. This works, that works, this choice, that choice. It's like, It really, for me, is still an individual journey that we're experiencing here on planet Earth.
Definitely. And, you know, I just want to say thank you for sharing your story, because there are so many people out there that have these chronic illnesses, and they manifest in a
the wide variety of ways, from having just chronic back pain and knee issues to being as sick as you were, not having the support of family, because sometimes our families just don't know what to do. You know, they're kind of like, what more can I do? I want to save you, but I don't know what to do, or I want to help, but I don't know what to do. And your daughter giving you that last, like, hey, Mom, if you need to go, I'll be here. You know, it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, Beverly, is that our last guest mentioned that her friend said the exact same thing to her. And I said, this is such an interesting night to have both of our guests have that phrase mentioned to them, that it's okay to let go. And then both of you choosing life, saying, screw that, we're staying. There's lots of that. I got a lot to go on. So
yeah, I could still win the lottery.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll take that one.
But I love, Beverly, I love the fact that you were allowing yourself to be open enough to say that, hey, you can heal and be healed on the inside and still not see it be manifested yet on the outside.
Yeah.
And your story is just courageous for all of us out there who are still working on their healing. It's coming. And every decision we make gets us one step closer. So I just want to say thank you very much. And now, you, do you have anything you want to share with our audience? Like, what's going on with you coming up besides the Unwavering Strength story?
I have so many things going on. You know, I'm always writing. I think you two know that I publish on the Huffington Post. So I'm always doing something that's interesting to me, or if, like, if there's a current, you know, cultural topic. I mean, I'm just finishing up a topic called Inside Out Beauty, right? Because this is really a big topic right now. How do we age gracefully? How do we age and embrace our own beauty without needing to maintain the youthful, whatever the youthful, plump, beautiful, you know, vision is out in the world. So these topics really interest me. What motivates people, you know, like what keeps people in a place of complacency? Like, how do we shake people up? How do we start new conversations? So a lot of that, I mean, you know, you'll see what I'm doing on my website, and I'm working on a collaborative book about golf and life. Hello, I don't play golf, but I've been working with this man. Yeah, and it's kind of a cool experience to write what I don't know, which is know nothing about golf. But in some ways, we know everything. You know, we know so much more than we really give ourselves credit for. So it's about having experiences, having fun, and meeting people, and just really having conversations. So you can find me there. You can find me out in the online world. And thank you both for having me on. I love Unwavering Strength. Yeah.
I'm so glad that you decided to stick around and you know, grace us with this wonderful, adventuresome spirit that's here and now. So
well,
thank you so
and
much.
And I also want to say one thing, because
you
Beverly, you're still a looker. I'm telling you, you're a gorgeous woman. And from a daughter who grew up with a mom who was always gorgeous and still is gorgeous, I love the fact that you women are getting older and looking fabulous and still figuring it out, you know?
Yeah. Thank you.
So thank you, Beverly. And you can go to her website, beverlygolden.com. Thank you so much for a wonderful interview tonight. And God bless you.
You too. Thank you so much,
thanks,
both
Beverly.
Of you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, honey.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, Christine Marie, my mama. We've had a wonderful, exciting night.
We did.
And I hate to say this, but before I started the radio show tonight, I kind of came to you saying that I was feeling a little bit I had a little bit of a sadness come over me for some reason.
Right.
And I don't feel that way now.
No. I feel totally uplifted. Two wonderful
me
guests.
Too.
With
me
great,
too.
Great spirit. You know, don't you? That's just what when you think about life now, it is a spirit, isn't it? It's like, you can just tell quality. You can just tell good quality character here, huh?
You definitely can. And I just want to say I love you lots, Mama. I hope my little dog Elliot wasn't a big distraction. Have you heard about him at all?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, great. Okay, and we have one minute before we go. So the quick story, the end of my story about the bathroom and the guy next to me. So anyway, you know, his feet were facing the wrong direction, and I didn't know what to do. And then my thought came to me that, hey, should I say this? That, you know, well, what if this person was like a cross-dresser?
or, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
I thought
you
said
pre-operative trends.
I said pre-op, you know.
Yeah.
I, you know, to me, and so I just said, you know what, letting it be. Why comment? You know, I don't need to say anything. I just, you know, and then I, when he left, I just chose to then finish my own business. Took care.
Do your own business. Mind your own business.
I'm my own. He's my his own. And we shared this one space and time, so that felt great. So everyone, go to our website, theclutterflyeffect.com, to buy our book, or ChristineMarieAngeli.com. And Mama,
it was great.
It was great.